Die Here het in die week met my oor een ding gepraat en ek hoop ek kry iets daarvan vanoggend gedeel. So miskien as ons terugkyk, over the past few weeks we've said that Jesus is praying for our faith when Satan wants to, nou skryf ek my Engels uit, ons wil uitsif. Jesus is praying for our faith. Knowing God's love casts out fear, which is the opposite. Fear is the opposite of faith. God wants us to walk in faith, not in fear, not in doubt. He wants us to walk in faith. And last week we said something about 1 John 4:12, where Jesus said, and John wrote, is that when we love one another, God's love is perfected amongst us. So if we want fear not to be part of us and part of our community, God is calling us to love one another. As we love one another, God's love is perfected amongst us. So I'm playing a huge role in the strength of Joe's faith, the way that I love him or I don't love him. So this morning I want to start off with a question, and maybe it connects to Eric's sharing this morning. So the question to each one of us is, what and whom do you serve? What or whom do you serve? What would you write down? What is it that you are serving? And I want to read us a scripture. And maybe it would start off being confusing, but I hope that it becomes clear as we continue searching the word. So let's open up our Bibles at Mark 10. So here the disciples is in an argument with one another, who is the most important? Who will sit next to Jesus? So who's the most important amongst us? That's the conversation. And I want us to turn to verse 42. Now Jesus is answering them. They wanted to sit next to him. It's John and James that's arguing about this. And then he says to them, and is it verse 39? He says, maybe just before that, he asks them in verse 38, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. So there's net die context van die gesprek. And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant with James and John, and Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so amongst you. But whoever would be great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So in the context of the scripture, and I maybe just read the focus scripture for me, the verse in verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So obviously the question that I asked, whom are you serving? And most of us, I think, would answer, I'm serving Jesus. But in the scripture, Jesus says, I did not come to be served. I don't want your service. I'm not interested in your service, is what Jesus is saying here. So, what do we do with that? If Jesus says, I didn't come that you should serve me. It's not why I came. And I know in many other places in the New Testament, Paul would say, I am a servant to Christ. He would say, whoever serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. So there is a service to Christ. But in a certain context, Jesus says, I don't want your service. You are not serving Christ. So the question remains, who am I serving? If Jesus says, don't serve me, whom do we serve? And we can spend the whole morning about serving Christ, but that's not the focus this morning. The focus is, there is a way that the Bible speaks that we should not serve Christ. He calls our service to another place, not to him. He's not here to serve us. We're not here to serve him. So if I just say something about service, is we serve him in the context that we obey him and he tells us what to do. In that way we serve him. But we don't serve him in a way that he needs us, that we can add anything to him. And obviously he says, I come to serve you. He doesn't serve us in the way that we command him what to do. That's not the way that he's serving us. So we do submit and obey God. But he's not in need of our help. His kingdom is not in need of our help. His plan is not in need of our help. The context here, again, when he says, I come to serve you. That's why I came. I came to serve you. He says, it's in the context of commandments that asks for radical obedience. So net voor dit sê hy vir John en vir James, julle gaan 'n kap drink as julle my wil volg. Om daai kap te kan drink, het julle my nodig om julle te help. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it. That's why Jesus says, I'm not coming to be served. I'm commanding things in this life and I'm asking things in this life that you are unable to do. You need my help. I'm here to serve you so that you can do that, what I'm asking. So what he says in short here is serve each other and all other people, even non-Christians. In that service, drink the cup in whatever way is asked of you to suffer. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, serve other people. Serve them. And in that serving, there will be suffering. Drink that cup. I will help you with that. I will serve you in that way. Because that suffering, that serving will cost you. Every call to obedience and every command that God gives us is an invitation for him to help us. And that's the way Jesus came to serve. And he says, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve you, to help you with where I'm called you. When we become a Christian, we do not become God's helper. When we become a Christian, he becomes our helper. And many times we think we are his helper. We are not helping him. He's helping us.
So,
there's a reason why he came to serve. How did that verse end in verse 45? His service is to what extent? Why did he came to serve? What does it say? To be a ransom for many. During the week, I was in a conversation, and in a moment, I felt God was speaking to me about when I've called you. So a scripture that meant a lot for me when I came to the Lord was Matthew 16:24, where he says, as enige iemand agter my aan wil kom met hy sy lewe neerlê, take up his cross and follow me. And I felt he asked me, so where are you following me? Where did you think I was inviting you when I said, come and follow me? So when Jesus says to each one of us, come and follow me, my question to you is, where is he leading you? And I think what immediately came to my mind is something like, I lay down my life for Jesus the King. I lay down my life for the kingdom to come on earth. But I felt Jesus says, this is not where I called you to. It's not what I asked you to lay your life down for. And as I thought more about and prayed more about this through the week, I was thinking about Jesus' life, and I was asking myself, where did Jesus lead? What was his example while he was on earth? Where did he go? Where was he going? Because he invited us to go with him wherever he was going. So where did he go? And as double-sided the statement was right in the beginning, we don't serve Jesus, he serves us. It's a double-sided statement. So the next statement is going to be double-sided as well. Jesus, when he invites us to him, he restores us with Father God. But from there on, he does not lead us to the Father. He does not lead us to his kingdom. He leads us to his lost people. Jesus' whole life on earth was an example of a life laid down for the ransom of many. And if we are talking about the fruit that Jesus is calling us to, it has to do about the ransom for many. So who do I serve? And back to that conversation I had in a week, I said to someone that wants to serve the body of Christ, I said, remember when we serve the body of Christ, and this is not only for me or for him, it's true for each one of us. Each one of us is called to serve the body of Christ. Do we agree on that? It's one thing that we agree on this morning so far. We are here to serve the body of Christ. So I was thinking the next few sentences, I think. So if I'm not called to lay down my life for Jesus, I'm not called to lay down my life for the kingdom. I'm called to lay down my life for a broken body. And as I said, the first two statements are true, but they're not ultimate. Those two statements without the third one, laying down my life for a broken body, without that, the first two means nothing. It has no value. It has no weight. It has no impact. So when Jesus says, come and follow me, the question arises, to follow me where? And as long as you live on this earth, my My message this morning, and I hope this is straight from God, follow Jesus to his broken people. There's no other place to go following Jesus in this age. He's not going anywhere else. Jesus is going to his broken body. We don't lay down our lives. We can be so spiritual. I lay down my life for Jesus. I lay down my life for his kingdom. But to make that practical, we have to say, I've laid down my life for his broken body. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To serve his broken body. And we can read many scriptures about that. I'm just going to read two. Let's turn to John 10. John 10. So verse 10, verse 11, it starts with, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he has a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And let's read another scripture. Let's read from Ephesians 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And I say, I gaan aan. So Jesus say, dit is hoekom ek gekom het. As ek jou roep om my te volg, dan is het hiervoor. Ek roep jou hiervoor. Ek roep jou om die kerk te dien en te sanctify. To seek the church and seek them out. And to serve the church of God. And each believer is called to that. Each one of us. Just back to last week's sermon. If we love one another, God's love is perfected amongst us. There is no loving amongst one another without me and you laying down our lives. And we want to lay down our lives for Jesus. Maybe it's only me. I want to lay down my life for Jesus, but not for people. It's not going to happen. Faith and love will not be perfected amongst us as long as I want to lay down my life for Jesus, but not for his people. So making my life lay down for Jesus practical means I lay down my life for a broken body. And I put in there a broken body for a reason, not only the body. It's not the perfect body. It's the broken body. Because the moment we find the brokenness of ourselves amongst one another, we want to run away. I want to run away. I want to give up and say no. So when Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep, and he calls me to follow him, he's asking me the same thing. Lay down your life for the sheep. Lay down your life for the body. The broken body who will disappoint you, will hurt you, who will sin. And if I have to say something about Ephesians 5, he says, start with this in your home. With your wife. Don't let us be hypocrites and do it outside there, but not in our homes. I just want to read two more verses. Let's open up at Philippians 2. Philippians 2 at verse 1. So just hear the context and And then he turns to Jesus again and his example. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love and participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Back to the servant. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in a human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed him the name that is above every name. So when Paul is writing to the congregation of Philippians, he says, act like this. Why? Because this was the mind of Christ. You be lowly and giving up yourself amongst one another, as Jesus set the example, being God but didn't count himself to be high at all, but to lay down everything. So when Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to lay down our lives for the body of Christ. And there's body of Christ here, and there's body of Christ all over the world. It's not a perk to this only. So two things that I was thinking when I thought about the cross, when Jesus asks to take up our cross, there was two main purposes of crucifying people back in the ages. It is to make sure that they suffer much pain. And the second was that they will be shamed. You were put up on the cross mostly naked, that you are shamed. So laying down our lives for one another will bring much pain and much shame. But this is the cup that Jesus called John and James to drink. And he's calling us to. We cannot run away from the pain of the body and the shame in the body. It is part of the cup that we drink. And as we journey with Jesus with a life laid down with him, some cried because he was crucified, others spit on him. The two men on each side, the one ridiculed him, and the other one was overwhelmed by his love. And the same will happen to you and me as we lay our lives down and follow Jesus. Not to the Father. That's not where he's calling us now. He's calling us in relationship with the Father, but he's calling us to the people of God. And we might be ridiculed, we might be spit on. And you all know the scripture so well, we're not going to read it. The question came up with me as I was praying about this is, when Paul had the opportunity, it was obviously under the leading of the Spirit, to describe love, in what context did he do it? He didn't use the context of man with God. 1 Corinthians 13. When he wanted to describe love, he was talking about me and Herman. how do I behave towards Herman? He didn't talk about how do I behave towards God. So love wasn't measured between how I behave towards God. That's what was not Paul's measurement. He actually, in a way, ridiculed it. This is, al praat ek al die tale, al bid ek hoe lang. Maar ek het nie die liefde nie, dan beskryf hy die liefde, en wat die liefde beskryf hy? Hy beskryf die liefde van hoe ons teenoor mekaar optree. He didn't stay with a spiritual love. He made it practical, every day to day. Misschien moet ons net paar gedagtes uit 1 Korintiërs 13 uitvat en sê, Paulus sê, al praat ek die tale van engele, al het ek alle profetiese gawes, al kan ek al die mysteries verstaan en ek het al die kennis, al het ek groot geloof, ek vertel soms my eie, al gee ek alles weg wat ek het. Dis nie hoe Paulus liefde meet nie. Paulus meer die liefde op hierdie manier wat Jesus sê, lay down your life for the body. There's a ransom for many in it. That's why I'm calling you. Love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes for all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away, and for tongues, they will cease, and for knowledge, it will pass away. So I hope that maybe it was, I want to read one more scripture. Paul writes to the congregation in Colossae, and he says, there's something in Jesus' affliction that is missing. I'm calling upon you as Colossians to fill it up. Colossians 1:24. That verse is a summary of, if Jesus says, come and follow me, if Jesus says, lay down your life, it's a summary of this. And with what Jesus did on the cross, nothing is lacking. We cannot add to what Jesus did. But what we need to add to what Jesus did is to bring that good message to people. To love people with that good message. Let's read from Colossians 1, verse 24. Colossians 1. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. So we can't have it clearer than this verse. Let's read it again. Now, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. So, if I have to translate it in my own words, back to where we've started, Jesus says to John and to James, you're going to suffer a lot. But I'm calling you to serve the people, to take this message to people. And whatever affliction you will have to go through, drink that cup. So that there will be a ransom for many. That is the church of God that receives the ransom. I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of the body, that is the church. So the question this morning is, do we allow Jesus to serve us in this calling? Because without Jesus, it's impossible to continue in this calling. We could listen to Ben and Danny Ems for a long time of how God called them just to leave everything and serve the body for the sake of the ransom of many. And how much affliction we have to go through. Not giving up. So in short, I want to leave us with a question. Do we allow Jesus to serve us so that we may be able to serve his body, to serve his church? And when Jesus says, come to me and follow me, this is where he's calling us. He's not calling us to spiritual things that is not anchored in reality. He's calling us to an anchored life laid down for the body of Christ. Serving the body of Christ. Serving the lost. Loving all people. Loving non-Christians. In a practical way so that the good news of Jesus will come to all people. This is the priorities. This is the fruit where Jesus is calling us. He's calling us to be like that amongst one another, so that our faith can be stirred. And I felt this morning that Jesus is not calling us only, maybe Lauren, you can come forward and we can just take time and ask God to meet each one of us individually. And I've said it many times, although I'm using Ben and Tani Ems as an example, we don't need to leave the marketplace to do this. God has placed each one of us in a specific place, in a specific season, to do the same thing. Where we are. How can we ask God, help me, Lord, not to have a spiritual laying down of my life, but a practical one that is laid down for the body. Ek is nou bly dat ek tot julle voordeel kan swaar kry. Ek is bly dat ek die deel van Christus se vervolging wat nog oorbly kan help dra. Ek verduur dit in my liggaam tot voordeel van sy liggaam, die kerk. Ek is 'n dienskneg van die kerk. God het my die verantwoordelikheid gegee om aan julle sy volle boodskap bekend te maak. Soos daar iemand is wie se hartsbegeerte en wie se gebed dit is om die Here om meer van dit in sy lewe te doen. Kom ons staan op en bid ons saam. Ons vra die Here vir oggend dat ons bereid is om swaar te kry. Dat ons bereid is om vervolging te dra. Dit beteken maar net om die eie ek op sy te sit. En dat ons bereid is om dit tot voordeel van die kerk te doen. As 'n dienskneg van die kerk. Om die volle boodskap bekend te maak. Of dit hier is en of dit op ander plekke is. Of dit binne in die kerk is wat reeds gevorm het. Of dele van die kerk wat nog moet gevorm word. Daar is nog baie dele van die kerk wat moet gevorm word. En dis waarin Jesus ons te roep. Dis die konteks waarin die Here ons roep om ons liefde uit te leef. Vader, dankie dat ons vanoggend kan kom en kan opstaan waar U ons uitnooi om U hulp te ontvang. Here, dankie dat U kom om ons te dien in hierdie roeping wat U vir ons gegee het. Dankie dat ons op U kan staat maak, want ons weet uit ons eie uit kan ons nie. Dankie Here dat U vanoggend net so baie getuienisse is, Here, van van vrug wat reeds gedra word. Dankie Here vir gelowiges in ons gemeente en buite ons gemeente, Here, vir wie dit 'n passie is om u goeie nuus bekend te maak waar hulle gaan en waar hulle is. Om mense so lief te hê dat hulle u kan sien vir wie u is. Ons wil u daarvoor loof en prys, Here. En saam met dit wil ons vanoggend saam met Erik uitroep, Here, maak die vrugte in ons lewens meer. Roep ons nader aan u, Here. Maar ons bid dat 'n nader aan u nooit sal beteken dat dit nie meer tussen die liggaam en die kerk sal wees nie. Here, help ons daar waar ons seer kry, help ons daar waar so Here ons teleurgestel word. Here, daar waar ons nie geken word nie. Watter ervarings ons ook al in die kerk en in die liggaam het, kom ons vanoggend om te kom vra, Here, help ons om ook daai deeltjie van suffering te dra. Help ons om moed te hou. Help ons, Here, om nederig te wees. Help ons om in eenheid te bly, Here. Help ons om die kerk te dien, Here. Help ons om honger te sien waar nog dele van die kerk gevorm moet word. Mag ons ook opgee dit wat ons verhinder om na daai dele van die kerk uit te reik, Here. Ons kom bid vir oggend, Here, vir geloof wat meer sal word soos wat U ons oë oopmaak en soos wat ons mekaar liefhet, Here. Help ons om u gebroke liggaam lief te hê soos wat u ons lief het, Here. Ons is volkome afhanklik hiervan, Here. Ons sien uit na die vrug wat u gaan produseer in ons en deur ons. Om u kerk te dien en op te bou. Ons bid dit in Jesus se naam en ons vertrou u Heilige Gees. Om saam met ons en in ons elkeen te werk, Here. Amen.